Okay, we are picking up on Zayin Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Matanas Avyonim." The Mishnah said that there's no difference between the first Ador and the second Ador, except for reading the Megillah and Matanas Avyonim. So, what is Matanas Avyonim? So, the things that we take for granted because we've been doing this for so many years, but this is where it comes out. Taner Rabbi Yosef, Umishloach Manos Yishul Reu. It says that you're supposed to be sending portions to another person. Shtei Manos, because Manos is two. So, you're supposed to send two things to one person. Matanas Avyonim, and you're supposed to give Matan, you're supposed to give gifts, plural again, to Avyonim, which is plural. So what do you learn from that? Shtei Matanos, Shnei B'nei Adam, you're supposed to give two gifts to two people, and the equivalent for Matanas Avyonim is generally considered to be the amount that they would have for to be able to eat a meal, a suda on Purim. So again, that's the amount you're supposed to be giving to two poor people on Purim, and you're supposed to be sending Mishalach Manos, your Yotze, you'll fulfill your obligation by just sending two things to one person. It has turned into sending 50 things to 50 people with a theme. So it does not. No, poor is it does not define poor. So what?
What's the value?
A meal. Whatever will be whatever will be a meal. You know, they say Sudas Purim. So
if you can have a very simple meal.
I think the fact that they're saying that we should be doing a meal that they would eat on Purim means that it should not be simple. It should be, I would think it would be like a Yom Tov meal, like what you would give, what you would want to have, that's what you should be giving to someone else. You're not supposed to be stingy on Purim. That they say that, no, I'm serious. Like they say that anyone that asks, you're supposed to give without really like checking into it. So I think whatever, if someone comes over, or if you're giving to, the best thing is to give it to the rabbi's discretionary fund and let him give out the money to, you know, they know who to give it to. So, okay, anyway. Okay, so now a couple of interesting stories here. We're on Zayin Amud Aleph. So Rav Yehuda Nesiya Shadar Leila Ravoshia Atra de Igla Tulasa. He would send him a calf that was the thigh of a calf that was a third born, which apparently was considered to be a very delicious delicacy. So Shalach Lei, returning to Zayin Amud Aleph, so he said back to him, Kiyam Tabanu Rabbeinu, Mishlach Manos Ish L'Rei, Matanos Avyonim. You were Mekayim with this, both Mishalach Manos and Matanos Avyonim, because he was poor. So by sending it to the same person, he was able to fulfill both his obligations. Presumably, he was also sending something to someone else also, because again, we just said that Matanos Avyonim, you have to have two people that you're sending it to, but presumably, so he was doing that. Rabba Shadur Leila Mari Bar Mar B'yad Abaye. So Rabba sent with Abaye, he made him his messenger, and he sent him a portion to Mari Bar Mar of Mishalach Manos on Purim. So what did he send him? Mali Taska de Kavsha, Umali Kasa Kimcha Davushna. He sent him a basket filled with dates, and it was a cup filled with like some sort of roasted flour. It was a very sweet dish. So Amarle Abaye, says to Rabba as he was sending him this dish, he said to him, Ichalakta Malka Lahevi, When a poor person becomes the king, you know, he doesn't remove the basket from around his neck. Meaning, you're sending him a very cheap shalach manos, and you've already become like the head of the yeshiva. You're very prestigious, so it's really not befitting for you to be sending such a cheap dish. You know, like the orange and the thing of Winkies that you sent when you didn't have any money. You should be sending something better now. So what happened? So he brought him this dish. Hadashadul hu'iyu. So Mari Bar Mar then sent back to Rabba Mali Taska de Zanvala Umali Kasa de Pilpula Aricha. He sent him back a basket that was filled with ginger and a cup with these long peppers in it, and that was like it was a sharper dish. So Amar Abai. So Abai again, the messenger. Abai said, Hashta Amar Mar. That he's going to say that I sent him sweet foods and he sent me back bitter ones. So Abaye says, "I'm Rabaye, kinafki mi beimar havasavana." When I left Rabba's house originally, I was already full. I was already satiated. Kimati lahasim. When I got to Mari Bar Mar's house, so krivuli shit inside the sheets in mine gedera. They brought me 60 plates with 60 different types of foods on it. And again, there could be some exaggeration. When you see these numbers in the Gemara, sometimes it means that there's a sense of exaggeration going on. But achli b'hushit and plugi, and I ate from the 60 dishes, I ate one thing off of each and every dish. Ubi shula basraisa, and the last thing that they gave me, havakarole tzli kater. They called it pot roast, which you know, that's a pretty good last dish to finish up with. And after I ate that, I still wanted to eat all the plates. Like, that's how hungry I was. And a poor person doesn't know how hungry he is when he's hungry, because Abai really, like, he was coming from Rabba's house, who didn't have a lot of money, really, but he was prestigious, so he thought, I'm already full when I left his house. But then when you get to a rich person's house and you start eating and you see the food that they got, then you really realize what the food is. Inami Rafkalavisma Shriach, as we all know that when there's always room for dessert. That's the bottom line, that he was able to eat even afterwards. So the Mefarshim say that this is not referring to eating food, it's referring to the Torah. Meaning that when he left Rabba's house, he thought that he was full already with Torah, and then he went to Mari Bar Mar's house and he saw that he was able to learn even more Torah as well. Okay, Abai Baravin, Rav Chanina Baravin, Mechafle Sudasi Ladadi, these two, they exchanged their Purim Sudas with each other. They were not wealthy people, so in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Mishalach Manos and Matanos of Yonim also, they would sit, one of them, you know, they cooked the Suda in each other's houses, and then they gave them over to each other, and that way they were able to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishalach Manos and Matanos of Yonim. Okay, now this is like the Gemara that every yeshiva guy knows. Amar Rava, Mechai Vinish of Usume Bapur, a person is supposed to become totally drunk until he doesn't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And the Mefarshim say either this means that you're supposed to be able to be so drunk that you can't say that, like repeat it over and over again, or there was a poem that they used to say, like someone would shout out a bunch of different, a line from a poem, and depending on what he was saying, they'd either say Arur Haman or Baruch Mordechai. So the idea is that you're supposed to be drinking so much that when they're saying it, you know, like, he was a big tzaddik, oh, Arur Haman. You know, like you're not going to know who it is that you're referring to. That's how much you're supposed to be drinking. But before you get drunk on Purim, the Gemara brings down a story now, which is again also an incredible story on Purim. Rabba v'Rav Zera of the Sudas Purim Bahadi Adadi, Rabba and Zeru eating the Purim meal together. Ibasum, they got drunk. So come Rabba Shchate l'Rav Zera. So Rabba got up and he shechted Rav Zera. Okay, so the Purim Suda was, they were having a great time, and he shechted Rav Zera. So what happened? L'machar boy rachme v'achye. So the next day, Rabba saw that he had killed Rav Zera. So he's like, I guess they cleaned up from around them, and they're sitting there on the table. So he saw that he had killed Rav Zera. So he davened to Hashem, and he revived him, and he brought him back. So l'shana amarle, the next year, Rabba says to Rav Zera, hey, Nasi Bar, Venevit, Sudas Purim Badi Adad. Let's go. Hey, last year was great. Let's go do Purim. Let's go do Purim again. So I'm relay. Love the Shaita, Vashaita, Mischarish Nisa. No. It's not every year that a Nase is going to happen. How about you do you and I'll do me and, like, you know, and the two shall meet together. And again, the Mefarshim say this doesn't necessarily mean that he killed him. Some say that it meant that he got him. Because again, the Gemara is talking about this is being brought down right after Chayiv Adam Levasumi, that a person is supposed to get drunk. It means that he got him so drunk that he was in alcohol poisoning, maybe. And like, so maybe it was like he davened when he saw that he was close to death, that he was so sick. And maybe the next year, Abzer was saying, you know what? I think, like, I learned my lesson last year. Like, me and alcohol, we don't mix. So they say it doesn't that literally mean that he killed him, but either way, it just means you got to be careful when you're drinking on Purim.
This is how they don't drink and drive.
I am sure that they're aware of this Gemara, and they've tried to incorporate it into it. Amar Rava, Sudas Purim she'achla b'layla. If someone eats the Suda Purim at night, lo yatsi de'chavos. You're not yotzi yechiv to eat the Suda, and you have to eat again another one the next day. My time, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says, "Yimei mishta v'simcha," that the day of eating and drinking, the day of eating and celebrating, because it says you're supposed to do it in the day and not at night. Ravashi Havi Yosef Kamei, Rav Kahana. Ravashi was sitting for Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana was wondering where everyone was. Nagav Elos Rabbanan, and he saw that his students hadn't yet come. It was Purim, but he saw that the students had come to the Beis Medrash. So Amar Leh, so Ravashi says, so Rav Kahana, my time Elos Rabbanan, why haven't they come yet? So he said, Dilma treated Besuda's Purim. So Rav Kahana said, maybe they're busy with eating the Purim Suda, and that's why they're not here in the Beis Medrash learning. So Amar Leh, so he said back to him, they could have eaten it last night. Why are they eating it during the day now, and now they're not learning? So Amar Leh, so Rav Kahana said back to him, Lo Shmiya Leh Lamar Ha Damar Rava. Didn't you hear what he said? That Suda's Purim, Sha'achal Balayla, Lo Yatsi De Chavasa, that if you eat at night, you don't fulfill your obligation. You have to eat the Purim Suda during the day. So Amar Le, Amar Rabba Hachi, did he really say that? That you're supposed, you can only eat it during the day and not at night? Amar Le, and he said he did say it. Tanamine Arab and Zimni, he learned it from him 40 times. Vidamile Kamad Damanach Bekisan, it's like he put it in his pocket, like he put it in his wallet. It was very secure for him. So he learned it over and over again to know the halacha. That the Surah of Purim has to be done during the day and not during the night. Okay, we are now going to do a couple of Mishnayos now, which have nothing to do with Masechtas Megillah, but again, the last Mishnah said that there's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, so now the Mishnayos that we're doing now is going to be giving a series of A and B's, that there's no difference between this and that, except for, you know, there's no difference between A and B, except for C. So the first Gemara says, the first Mishnah says, "Ein ben yamtif l'shabbos el ochel nefesh bilvad." The only difference between Shabbos and yamtif is the permissibility to be able to prepare to cook foods on yamtif. You could do it on yamtif, and you can't do it on Shabbos. This is not talking about. Rashi says we're not talking about for punishment. Meaning, there's a lot of things that that the punishment is different on Shabbos and what it is on Yom Tov, but it's just talking about in terms of what the actions, the activities that you are or are not allowed to do. The only difference is going to be that you're in terms of food preparation. That on Shabbos you are not allowed to do it, and on Yom Tov you are allowed to do it. So Gemara says, "Halini machshirei ochel nefesh." When it comes to preparing the foods, havahash zevizav shabbim. Then Shabbos and Yom Tov are both equal. That you're not allowed to do them. So who's that like? Masis and Lokrab Yehuda. The Tani, we learned, Ein ben Shabbos Yom Tov ala ochel nefesh. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the food preparation. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, af machshirei ochel nefesh, that even the preparation is also allowed. Preparation is, for example, like, meaning you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to make all the ingredients. You can't go out to the fields and cut the wheat that you need to get, and whatever they were doing to make, like they want to make challah, let's say. So you could bake challah on Yom Tov if the flour is already there. You cannot go out to the fields and start doing all the things that get the food ready for the preparation that you're not allowed to do. My time at the Tanakhama, so what's from the Tanakhama that says that only that you're not allowed to do the preparation, not allowed to do it. Amar Kra, who? That it says in the Pasuk, it's Ashirech L'chol Nefesh Hu Levado Yaseh L'chem. That is only that you're allowed to do. So who is telling you that only the food prep you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to do the preparation before that? Rabbi Yehuda Amar, and he says L'chem. It says L'chem. L'chem L'chol Tzorcheichem. That you know. It says that when it says in the pasuk L'chem, it means that you're able to do everything that you need. Not only are you allowed to cook the food on Yom Tov, you're also able to prepare the stuff beforehand. So, for example, if let's say the knife is you need to sharpen the knife. You're able to sharpen the knife beforehand in order to be able to shech the animal, let's say, you're able to do that as well. Because it says in the Pasuk Lachem, so anything you need for you, you're allowed to do. So Gemara asks on the Tanakhama, V'idachnam yachksiv lachem, why does he say that you can't do the preliminary stuff? It also says lachem, which you should be able to translate that way, to learn to do everything. So he answers, lachem v'lo la'avdei kochavim, lachem v'lo la'klavim. No, lachem is telling you that on Yom Tov, and this is actually a very important halach l'maisa, that you are only able to prepare food for you. You are not allowed to prepare food for non-Jews. You're not allowed to prepare food for your animals. So people have to be very careful when they're inviting over. Sometimes they have company for Yom Tov that are not Jewish. You are not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. What? Different story. But if let's say the only person that you're having as a guest is a non-Jew, again, I'm not a rabbi, so you know, you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but I believe that the halacha is that you have to be very careful. Not everyone knows that, because they say, well, once I'm allowed to cook, then I'm able to do it. But the reality is that Lachem teaches you that you cannot cook for a non-Jew. Because it says in the Pasuk Lachem. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says Lachem means that for you, you're able to do it. Lachem meaning for Jews, right. But not for non-Jews and not for and also not for animals. Yeah, well, we're going back to the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Shabbos you can't do for anybody. Yeah. And Yom Tov you could do it, but even on Yom Tov there's limitations to what you're able to do it for. Gemara says, so the Gemara asks now the other way, V'idach Nami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Haksiv, who, it says who. So why does he say, so where does he learn out that not for the preliminary food also? The Gemara says, Ksiv hu, uksiv lachem, kam b'machshirin she'ef shal asoz merav Yom Tov, kam b'machshirin she'ef shal asoz merav Yom Tov. He also agrees that, like, let's say, for example, sharpening the knife, okay? You want to sharpen the knife to shecht an animal. If you should have done it before Yom Tov started. If you didn't do it, you cannot do it once Yom Tov. Even though he says that you could do preliminary food prep, you could prepare. That's only if you didn't have time, you weren't able to do it before Yom Tov started. But if you did have time, let's say, for example, you sharpen the knife before Yom Tov, and then you're going to shecht the animal, and you see that the knife is nicked. So you got to fix that. You got to fix. But if you never sharpen the knife before Yom Tov, he would agree and say that you're not allowed to do that before Yom Tov either. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein bein Shabbos Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. El Shazez Adon Abidei Adam. That this, if you do something deliberately on Shabbos, you are punished. You get a punishment by Beis Din. V'zez Adon Abakares. And if you do something, an action, b'mezin on Yom Kippur, you're going to get kares b'dei Shemayim, but you do not get punished down here from Beis Din. And again, we're just talking about in terms of punishment. Obviously, there's a lot of differences. There's things that you cannot do on Yom Kippur. The five things you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur: Achila Shtia, Nilas Hasandol, Tashra Shamita, and Sicha, right? And to anoint, you're not able to do any of those things. Right now, we're just talking about in terms of punishment. So the Gemara says, Halenu Tashlumin, Zevizah Shavim. When it comes to paying, we say that they're the same. So Rashi brings down that there's a concept in the Gemara that we've had in different places called Kamle B'Rabba Mine, that you make if you have a choice of two punishments, you get the greater one, and then you don't have to do the easier one. So what does that mean? Let's say a person burns down a field. He sets a fire on Shabbos in someone's field, and he burns down the field. So there's he's chayav for burning because he lit a fire on Shabbos. He's chayav misa. Okay. At the same time, he also damaged someone's property, and in theory, he should be paying that person back for the damage that he did to his property. So we say kam lebed rabine. He gets the greater punishment. He gets the misa. He gets killed, and then the damage that was done to the property, he's not liable for that. So the Gemara is saying that Leni Tashlum and Zev is Hashem, we say that they're both the same, that both on Shabbos, if someone did something b'mezid, where he's being punished by Beis Din, he doesn't have to pay for the wheat field that he burned. So too, if someone did something on Yom Kippur, if he burnt a field on Yom Kippur, then he would not have to pay for the, even though he's not getting a punishment. The Karis is that a person, they die younger, their children are going to die younger as well, but that's not, you don't see that happening. It's all done b'day shemayim. It all happens, you know, upstairs. It's not something the peasant does down here, but we're saying that they're the same, that if, let's say, the person on Yom Kippur would go ahead and light this field on fire, you don't see right now any punishment happening to him, but at the same time, he does not have to pay for the field because one day he's going to be getting kares, and therefore, because he's going to get that greater punishment, he doesn't pay now for the damage that he did. So money masnis, and who's our Mishnah going like? Rav Nechunya ben Akanahi, the Tani that we learned in a Mishnah, in a Braisa, Rav Nechunya ben Akanahi, Ha'yoses, Yom Kippurim, Kishabes, the Tashuma, that he would say that Yom Kippur and Shabbos, he would make Yom Kippur like Shabbos as far as what you would have to pay back. That Ma Shabbos, Mischai Benasho, Upatim Benatashulim. And just like Shabbos, again, when someone sets a field on fire, they are chai with their nefesh that they're going to be killed by Beis Din, but they're not going to have to pay for the damage that they did to the field. After Yom Kippur, Mischai Benasho, Upatim Benatashulim. And so too, that if someone sets a field on fire on Yom Kippur, they're going to be chai from Beis Din. They're going to get kares, and they don't have to pay for the field now. So our Mishnah is going like Rav Chananya ben Akana. Tanan Hasan, we learned in another Mishnah, Kachaya v'kriso shalaku niftar b'day krisasan, that all those who got kares are going to be putter, once they get their malchus, that the lashes that they're supposed to be getting, they no longer are going to get their kares. Why? Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, v'nikla achicha leinecha, that your brother is going to be... he's going to be punished in your eyes. What does that mean? That kivan shalaka harihu keachicha. Once he got the malchus that you were giving out to him, once he got the lashes, he's like achicha again. He's like your brother. So therefore, we learn from this that because the halacha is that when someone would do that, even though we said that you don't do any punishment because you're going to be getting kares, but if someone, they would give them malchus, which was very painful. Once they get the malchus, then they're considered like achicha again, and we say that they wouldn't be getting the kares. Divrei Reb Chananya ben Gamliel. That's Reb Chananya ben Gamliel says. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Chalukin alav chaver av Reb Chananya ben Gamliel. They argue, the people that we just learned in this Mishnah, they argue on that. Why? I'm a Rabba, Amri Be Rav. Tanina, we learned from a Mishnah. So we said that there's no difference. We just learned in the Mishnah a similar thing that there's no difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, except someone who does something b'mezid on Shabbos is going to be punished by Beis Din, and someone that does something on Yom Kippur b'mezid is going to be punished b'day Shemayim. But v'im isa, but if you say that you're going to be getting Malkus, that even if someone burns a field on Yom Kippur, that they're going to get Malkus anyway, so idi b'day adam hi. So then both Yom Kippur and Shabbos are the same, the punishment is the same. They are going to be getting punishment b'day adam. It's not just going to be b'day Shemayim. So Gemara says, maybe that's not a proof. Amar Rav Nachman, Hamani, Rabbi Yitzchak, he's going to look Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar, Malkus b'chai b'krisus leka, that there is no penalty for Malkus when it comes to car race. He argues, Titania, because we learned, and it's talking about for Arayos, the Pasuk goes through all the different relationships they're not allowed to do. And it says Chai b'krisus b'klal hayu, that all of these relationships that we said they were all under one general category of don't do them. Like they're the disgusting acts of immorality. You're not supposed to do it. And what happened? V'lama yatzas karis machoso. So then another pasuk comes out and it says, and also you shouldn't have a relationship with your sister. She was already included in the kol arayos in the other pasuk. So why did it bring it out? Why did it separate out the sister? So laduna b'kares v'lova malchus. It's teaching you that you only get kares and you don't get malchus. So this mishnah is going is arguing this tana is arguing with what we were just saying before. So we could say that it could really be going like Rabbi Yitzchak. And let's just finish up two more lines to the Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Tam Rabban, you can even say it's going to Rabbanon, Zeh Iker Zedona B'dei Adam, Zeh Iker Zedona B'Kares, that yeah, you are going to be giving Malkus, he holds, you are giving lashes to him, but the main punishment is still coming from Shemayim, and that's worse than getting a punishment B'dei Adam. Even though B'dei Adam is doing a an ancillary punishment for him, but the real punishment is coming for Deshamayim, and that's going to be much worse. Okay, we'll stop here.